BBC News.
You're listening to the BBC World Service. This is Peter Dobby with NewsHour. Democratic and Republican Senate leaders have appealed for a new version of the $700 billion Wall Street bailout to be approved in what is a key vote. In the past few hours, we've heard from both sides of the political divide. Republican Mitch McConnell said it would shield Americans from shockwaves of a problem they didn't create. The Senate Democrat, Harry Reid, said he hoped a strong show of bipartisanship would, quote, spark the House to do the same. The plan needs support in the Senate and the House. The events in Washington, the state of the US economy, and the joint impact of those two factors are dominating the US election campaign. The BBC's Talking America bus continues to journey through the US asking what's on people's minds. The most recent stop, Poplar Bluff, where it soon became clear that even this small town in Missouri, though it's far removed from Wall Street in terms of geography, has not been spared the aftershocks of the economic downturn. Our correspondent, Alan Little, has been to a local school to sound out the town's residents on their views on the economy and education. He found children fluent, not in the language of the playground, but in the lexicon of the money markets, foreclosure and recession. Here's Alan.
Welcome to Poplar Bluff, Missouri, where I'm sitting in the music room of the town's school for 5th and 6th grades. That's students aged between 10 and 12. We've gathered here a live audience of parents, teachers and students, and we're going to hear some of their experience as they take on the task of educating America. Poplar Bluff is a town of about 17,000 people, right in the heart of what the rest of the world thinks of as middle America. It's not rich, it's not poor, but it includes families from up and down the economic spectrum. But what everybody here seems to agree upon is that it's a great place to raise a family. It's got strong community spirit, the sort of place where everybody knows their neighbours and pulls in the same direction. I also have a panel of two distinguished visitors to the school who've joined us for this debate. Here in the music room is Krista Kafer, formerly of the conservative think tank The Heritage Foundation, and on the line from New York, Dr. Eric Cooper of the National Urban Alliance for Effective Education. Let me start, though, with Sarah Long, who's the assistant superintendent for the district here, in charge of schools that encompass some 5,000 students. Sarah, are parents, are teachers worried that the current economic climate and the crisis, let's face it, it's the most serious crisis for the American economy since the Great Depression, is going to impact on the public provision of education for their kids?
Yes, I believe that we are a microcosm of what you see across America. And of course, we're concerned about what's happening on Wall Street, what's happening in Washington, D.C. We have jobs here that we want to maintain. Most of our families have some kind of retirement accounts. All of those are being impacted. Of course, we still have credit issues here as well as foreclosures. All of the things that you are seeing nationally, you will also see in Poplar Bluff. How it trickles down to education is property taxes actually fund education in the state of Missouri. So as people lose their homes and fewer homes increase in value, of course that will impact the funding that the school district as large does have to use. Also, we have some sales tax revenue that impacts our funding as well. So when the economy is not doing well, school funding does not do well. And that eventually trickles down to the resources that teachers have and that students have as far as what they need to have a good education.
So that has a very real effect on the quality of education that you're able to provide.
Yes, it does.
And are parents worried? Let's see if we can get some reaction from parents. Who's worried about the economy here?
My name is Cindy Gabler. I'm a parent of a child in this building, plus I'm an employee of the district. I've taught in this building, and now I'm a psychological examiner for this building. I think the economy is affecting everybody. I think it affects our kids are coming to school concerned because they're hearing that their parents are upset because they have no money. We're all worried about what's going to happen with the election. Teachers are upset because teachers are humans too, and they're worried about the economy. So I also think it trickles down not only in the aspect of things that you can touch, like the money that Sarah was talking about, but also in the emotions that we're all carrying right now because the economy is a great concern.
Is there anybody else here who shares that view that this is... Because if you're a parent of a child in this school, you've got to depend on a decent public education now for the next 6 to 8 years until your kids are through the school system. Is there anybody else here who shares those anxieties?
I'm Martha Dye. I'm a parent of a child in sixth grade here at the school, and I'm also a physician taking care of children with medical issues that impact their education is something that we do every day in our practice. I think that we're going to see more children who have home situations where there's anxiety about the economy. I think that there's going to be children who can't focus or concentrate because they're worried about their family's economic success or failure. And even though these children are only 10 to 12 years old, they're very keen and they pick up on the little things that are said on the news, in the media, and by their parents. We strive to keep things on an even keel, but everybody knows that if we head into a recession, that's ultimately going to affect our children, our teachers, and ultimately their education.
Let's hear from some of the students themselves. Do you talk about these things in the classroom amongst yourselves?
I'm Kayla Dixon, and I'm a student here. And we don't really talk about it in school, but in some special programs, we have discussions about it, and we actually learn about it.
Are you worried about it, Kayla?
Yes, actually, yes, I am.
You're only 10 years old. It doesn't seem fair that you should be burdened with these anxieties.
Well, I'm actually glad that I know about it now, because now I can try, at least do what I can to try to like learn more and eventually try to affect it so that it has a better outcome.
What about the others? Are any of you similarly worried? Do you hear your parents talking about these things?
I'm Buddy Fields, and yes, I am very worried about funding for schools and...
How old are you, Buddy?
11.
Can you say a little more about what you're worried about?
I'm really worried about the funding for schools decreasing because of foreclosure of homes and things like that.
This is a word that is now right at the top of the political debate in America. Let me go back to Sarah Long, the assistant superintendent. Sarah, more than half of your students come from families of low income. This is a community that's very exposed, isn't it, to an economic downturn?
Yes, it is. We have about 60% children who come from homes of poverty, as you mentioned, within our school district of a 5,000 student population. So as families face what poverty issues happen naturally, and then the economy begins to slow down, those poverty issues come to the forefront. We see students, we have a program where we provide actual shoes for kids through a foundation here in the community. We see families that need to go to food banks. So as all of those factors impact education, it makes it more difficult for that child to come ready to learn every day. And then that makes the job of the teacher more difficult.
Let me bring in Dr. Eric Cooper from New York. Dr. Cooper, we've heard there's this very immediate connection between economic well-being in a community like this and the available resources for quality education for kids who depend upon public provision. They're right to be anxious at a time like this, aren't they?
Very much so. The irony is that in this country so far, we don't seem to have our priorities straight. If you listen to the students' voices and you listen to the parents and the superintendent, you hear a real earnest understanding of how important education is to the fabric of this country. You know, the irony for me being in New York right now is that more money is spent on Wall Street bonuses than the world has given to 800 million starving people in Africa. Though some might say the budget for education is large, it really is not from the standpoint of the federal government. The federal government only puts in approximately 8%. It is my hope that we realize that the most important aspect of life in any country is the fact that we find ways of supporting the children and supporting those who serve the students so that we can remain competitive and enable the world to become a better place for everybody.
So are you saying that the federal government should take on the responsibility of making sure that schools like this are up and down the 50 states of the United States should not be vulnerable to local economic downturn?
Absolutely. 1 in 4 of all the children in the U.S. under the age of 6 right now are Hispanic. Unless we begin to address the needs of all of our children, white, Hispanic, African American, Asian, Native American, and the swelling rainbow underclass, we'll ultimately, if we don't address that, ultimately, through the federal government, we will threaten the sustainability of America's competitiveness in a global marketplace. And in so doing, threaten the world, because we all are part of a global community right now. So what happens in America affects what happens in other countries.
Krista Kafer, do you share those concerns?
I guess I think we need a little bit of perspective. Our country spends about $500 billion $1 billion on public education. We spend the second highest on per pupil amount of in the world, I think, which is behind either Switzerland or Finland. I can't remember which one, but second highest. We spend a lot on education. We are a country that seems sort of unconscious of its own wealth, a very wealthy country. And I know there's anxieties in the background. There always are. But what really comes down to the quality of education really is about what's going on in individual classrooms, that magic between the teacher and the student. And, you know, teachers and students are a remarkably resilient bunch. Even though there's real anxieties about what's going to happen, I know that when we leave here today, that teachers are going to be up there in front of kids, and we're going to see some really wonderful things happening right here that really, in a sense, won't be affected by what's going on outside of these walls.
One of the things that strikes me as an outsider coming to America is in a week when Congress is debating the $700 billion bailout, that's an astronomical sum of money, and it contrasts very starkly with the relatively small sums of money that often stand in the way of people losing their homes. People are losing their homes
Absolutely, Alan,
for $200 or $300. Dr. Cooper.
So, though I agree with Krista that you will have always heroic educators standing and working along in an interactive way with the students who they cherish and embrace. You know, my organization, we're in schools where they barely have sufficient funding for technology, barely have sufficient funding for the kinds of materials that we know are important in a competitive marketplace. And when we are trying or attempting to accelerate the learning for students who come into schools lacking the preschool exposure that many wealthier or middle-class parents are able to provide their students, we have a responsibility as a country to make sure that all of our children get educated. I agree with Krista that there are heroic people out there and that people are going to go ahead and teach no matter what because of their commitment to the mission of education. At the same time, would it not help us if we find sufficient funding for educators to serve students in a way that enables them to become more successful in light of the fact that we seem to be able to find 700, or at least think we can find $700 billion to deal with the financial crisis, where, in my opinion, those funds could be better used to support the people who make up the fabric of America.
Let me ask, I've been crossing America talking to people who are losing their homes for the want of $200 or $300, which strikes me as the cost of a decent lunch on Wall Street. And that disparity strikes me very sharply. Is there anybody here who feels angry about that?
My name is Joan Lack, and I teach fifth grade. I'm not an economic expert. I feel like I am, you know, the best that I can be with my children in my classroom. And it's so frustrating to me to know that they could give money to people on Wall Street when we're forgetting about the kids in the classrooms. And I also am a mother, and so I see my children that are 3 and 5 growing up, and I fear that they are going to live through a depression and see lots of things in the economy that I never had to face. And so that frightens me. And as we were talking earlier, I had a student last week, and this it saddened me so much. She told me she was moving, and I said, "Well, how come you're moving, honey?" And she said, "Well, because we can't pay the electric bill." And I can't even imagine as a 10-year-old even being aware. I wasn't aware of the electric bill. You know, my parents just paid it. These kids are facing things in the economy that none of us even had to blink an eye at. And I guess I worry about my kids in my classroom not being funded, but yet we're going, like we're saying, we're going to save Wall Street. I do not understand.
That's traumatic for kids that age, isn't it? Because they need stability. They need to know where their home is. Do you see that anxiety in the classroom?
Yes, I do see it a little bit. We have a mixture of children in our classrooms. You know, we've talked about middle class, a little bit of upper class, but I have seen it a lot in the lower class lately. Some of my kids have opened up more to me this year than I've ever seen in the past about problems their parents are facing, and they'll say, "Well, we couldn't go anywhere last night because we couldn't afford the gas. You know, I can't do that, Mrs. Lack, because we just don't have the money to do that." So they're missing out on extracurricular things that also enrich their education.
Krista Kafer.
You know, I don't think anybody wants to bail out Wall Street, but if you think about financial markets, it's like a series of waterways that are filled with water. Right now, though, that water line has dropped so that there's not a lot of water in the waterways, so the boats can't go on the water. The fact is that all things are connected. Schools, businesses, the local gas station, the local cafe, all those are connected in one way or another through these waterways. And if Congress lets some more water in through this bailout, at least the boats will then float on the water. I think ultimately, if they can get this thing passed, it will certainly ease this. I mean, lack of liquidity or lack of water in the system is what caused the Great Depression. As scary as it might seem at this exact moment, I think Congress will act in the next week or so if they can put politics aside and stave this kind of thing off. And then we can get back to having more conversations about education and what goes on in the classroom.
Dr. Cooper.